to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now. And they're off. The National Dog off to a flying start there, bolting out ahead. And, oh, what's this? Looks like several of the Labour Dogs have given up racing entirely, instead choosing to walk around in circles, occasionally biting each other. Surely that's counterproductive. Meanwhile, I don't believe this. The Act Dog, honestly one of the shittiest little dogs I've ever seen, has managed to pull himself to the front by biting onto the tail of the National Dog. He's literally being dragged to a podium finish. Here they come now, down the stretch. It's the National Dog way out in front, followed by the parasitic little scamp from Act and some old man wearing a bow tie. Following them is a bright-eyed hermaphrodite, brimming with hope, representing the Green Party and bringing up the rear, that's right, the New Zealand First Dog, who will surely be disqualified for taking a bite out of a Chinese Shar Pei. What a bitch.
It's political commentary.
This morning we are going to be speaking with Bryce Edwards for Political Commentary. Good morning, Bryce.
Good morning, Hannah.
How are you?
I'm great, thanks.
So we're going to first of all have a little look at Murray Ball, who was the cartoonist and creator of Foot Rot Flats, and he's recently passed away. I was brought up with my dad being an admirer of Foot Rot Flats, and I actually used to kind of read them, but I never really understood the context or the meaning behind it, so it'd be interesting to kind of talk about the politics of it all. And actually, interestingly enough as well, I actually never made the effort to ask my dad why he loved the work so much. So I kind of wanted to quickly ask you to begin with is, why was his work so easy for people to connect with?
Well, New Zealand didn't really have any cartoonists that talked about New Zealand life and, you know, what it meant to be a New Zealander. So lots of his cartoons, they were very obviously rural-based because it was set on a farm, but it dealt with New Zealand issues and the New Zealand way of life back in, I guess, old times, you know, in the 60s, 70s, 80s. And it was about, it wasn't, you know, political in the sense of some of his other work, but it was certainly social, and it dealt with lots of human issues and things like greed and vanity. And there were normally some sort of lessons in his cartoons, but they weren't heavily, you know, hitting you over the head. But the main character, the dog, was very kind of philosophical, and he was optimistic, and he was always coming up against, I guess, despair and problems on the farm, especially with the humans. So I don't know, I'm not sure he can explain why it's funny, but he was just, obviously Murray Ball just came up with these funny scenarios, and it's hard to explain the funniness of comedy, I guess.
I suppose it's kind of relatable as well, because of that New Zealand culture and it being on a farm and stuff, so people kind of automatically connect to it just on that kind of base. Yeah, cool.
Exactly.
But what were the political views that Ball had?
Yeah, so he didn't put much of his politics. There were some, but not much of it into Foot Rot Flats. But he had a lot of other cartoons and books that he produced over the times. And particularly before he had the success with Foot Rot Flats, he had one cartoon in particular, which was called Stanley. And it was based on a caveman who wore glasses. It was kind of set in a mythical ancient time, but it had a lot of parallels with the New Zealand of the 1970s, and Stanley was just kind of dealing with the big issues in life of, you know, capitalist society and inequalities of power and gender relations. And I remember reading this when I was, you know, 8 or 9, and I'd never seen all these big questions about why you have to pay to go to the doctor and why countries go to war, and yet it was really in these funny cartoons. So it was quite influential on me, and I expect a lot of other people as well.
So younger people could connect to these cartoons as well?
Yeah, I mean, I read Stanley because I loved Foot Rot Flats. I want to read more of his stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't think I knew what I was getting myself into. Without sort of knowing, I was kind of being educated in left-wing politics by Murray Ball. And that's what he was. He was resolutely left-wing. He called himself a socialist, and he was about challenging the status quo and those that had power. And he had a lot of, I think, as he said himself, he had a lot of anger in him, a lot of hate, because he had seen a lot of things in society that he couldn't abide by. And part of that was living in places like South Africa and Britain with the strong class system, and he was revolting against that. So, you know, even when he came back to New Zealand, and there was the Springbok Tour, he was active in that, and, you know, Dog from Foot Rot Flats was the mascot of the All Blacks. And Murray Ball himself was a huge rugby fan. He'd been actually a junior All Black, and he'd been a trialist to get into the All Blacks, but didn't make it. But yeah, very into rugby. But nonetheless, when with the Springbok tour, he forbid the All Blacks from using dog as a mascot.
Really?
And so he wrote a public letter, I think, about this, and made quite a stand, which was, I think, surprising for a lot of people, because people did know that he was a rural man and he loved his rugby, but he boycotted it, essentially.
Now, what about his views on gender?
I mean, there's a lot of gender stuff in Foot Rot Flats. You know, because there is in the world, whenever you are a cartoonist or someone telling a story and you have different characters, and he did portray, women and girls in a certain way, just as he did boys and men. And I think he was very interested in the gender dynamics. And then when it came to, after he finished Foot Rot Flats, he put out a book called The Sisterhood, and that was not very well received.
Mm.
It was... I guess an expansion of his feelings about gender politics, and he kind of really had a go at feminists in it. And so, yeah, obviously the feminists didn't like that. And he wrote a lot of, I don't know, he caricatured the feminist movement in lots of ways, as you might imagine, with, you know, hairy legs and lots of absurdities. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, that was not well received. But, I mean, I thought some of it was kind of clumsy, but he did make a lot of interesting points in it.
Mm.
And he wasn't really entirely, I mean, he himself had lots of sympathies with feminism, and he believed in, I think, what he would call women's liberation, but he just thought that some of the aspects of feminism didn't resonate with him. And so I thought it was an interesting contribution to the debate, but I think I'm probably in a small minority in that
yeah.
regard.
And how significant can a cartoon be on shaping society?
Oh, I don't know. you know, as I've said, it had a big influence on me, so I don't know who else was influenced by it, but we've seen a huge outpouring of grief by New Zealanders this week who have been saddened by his death. And so, yes, he had an impact. It's just not sure how much of a political impact it was.
And I kind of wanted to finally ask, how was he able to kind of intertwine politics into these comics without ruining kind of the humour and joy that people receive from it? Because sometimes when something gets like heavily political, especially in kind of like a context of it being something you read or, you know, people can tend to kind of start to back away from
it. That's right. And so, and I don't think there is any easy answer to that. You know, there was some gentle politics in Foot Rot Flats, observations about society and relations between humans, but his way of dealing with it, I think, was to separate those things out and have Foot Rot Flats as fairly non-political and then have these other overtly political cartoons and books. So, yeah, I think he knew that he couldn't really hope to achieve exactly what you're talking about, so that's the way he did it.
Well, I definitely want to go back and have a kind of a little look through some of the comics.
In secondhand bookstores, there's always lots of old Foot Rot Flats, but even these other ones like Stanley and the Sisterhood.
Yeah, I think my dad's got a pile of them at home, actually, comics.
Lots of people have, yeah.
moving on, though, abortions, while generally accepted to be accessible to most New Zealanders, are currently it comes under the Crimes Act. Some are calling for it to be decriminalised. Now, we've had Bill English say that he doesn't think the law needs to be modernised, whereas Andrew Little has stated that he thinks the legislation needs to be reviewed and upgraded. Do you think that abortion will be decriminalised in the near future?
I doubt it, but who knows? I mean, we're not used to having debates about abortion. Back in the 1970s, it was a big thing in New Zealand politics, and it was very polarising, very divisive. And the politicians learnt a lesson from that, and they essentially put together this legislation, which is in the Crimes Act, crazily enough, rather than the any health portfolio or health legislation. And it was a compromise piece of legislation that made abortion a crime, and which I think is extraordinary.
Why should it be a compromise, though?
Well, it was a compromise because two sides of New Zealand felt very strongly about it. You know, obviously the pro-life side and the pro-life and the pro-choice side.
Yeah.
And so politicians aren't very good at necessarily, they don't want to offend one side of it. So both Labour and National politicians wanted to keep on side with both sides. And so it was a compromise whereby abortion would be technically illegal, but you could get an abortion if you satisfied some quite strict criteria and saw specialists. And so the legislation is actually pretty draconian and conservative, but the way that it is actually interpreted is very liberal. And so, in effect, the legislation can be interpreted by the medical fraternity quite liberally and allow women to have abortions. They still have to jump through lots of hoops, which I think is unfortunate, but you kind of do almost have abortion on demand in New Zealand, but technically it's very tough. So I think Andrew Little's right that there's a need to review these things, but it will open up a bit of a can of worms, and there will be a lot of heartfelt debate about it, I think, and it will be stormy.
And why is this issue coming up now?
That's fascinating. I'm not entirely sure either. I think it's been building over a number of years, and every year you have the Abortion Advisory Committee, and this is the official state organisation that's supposed to oversee that the legislation is being followed, etc. And they report to the Justice Select Committee, and they're doing that today at Parliament. So it's their annual consultation with Parliament, and they will give their reports. And I think in recent times they're becoming more assertive with Parliament, saying you need to update this Act. It's not really working. It's not really modern. And so they'll be throwing that challenge to Parliament today. And I hope the politicians take it up and that they do have some sort of review or, you know, deal with this thorny issue, because it is an important one to lots of New Zealanders.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of people calling out and saying that they want this, they want change.
Yeah.
So
it's unavoidable. It's just a question of when.
Cool. Well, thank you so much, Bryce, for speaking with us this morning. And have a good rest of your day.
Thanks, Hannah.
And we'll talk to you again soon, hopefully.
Cheers.
Cool. Thank you.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.